Well, tonight, we are super excited about sharing. Marie and I get to share and kick everything off together. Is there a marker? So you're going to be writing those things down when we get to that. Let me go ahead and open in a word of prayer again. Is that all right? We're going to transition and go into a time of learning, time of speaking. And I really believe that the Lord has some wonderful things to start us off with tonight. We're not going to just ease into this. We're going to let God just take us like a rocket right into what we want to know, okay? Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' precious name, we come before you. We thank you for tonight. We know tomorrow is sacred and significant, but right now, we're all here right now. And Lord, we unite our faith together. And Lord, we receive your word for us. Because we know one word from God can change everything. We know one word from God can move us miles ahead from where we already are. One word from God can take someone who's everything's fallen apart and put it all back together. And so, Lord, we're looking right now not for clever speaking, not for, you know, witty things. We're looking for a word from God. And so, Lord, use Marie and I's mouth right now. We yield ourselves to you. Our hearts are wide open. Marriage is so precious, so important. We set this time aside. It is a sacred, sacred time. And I thank you for blessing and refreshing these couples tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, red carpet marriage. I want to talk about that just for a second. You know, our world values a whole lot of things. And when you see them on television, the people on the red carpet, you know, it's not normally marriage values that they're celebrating, those people on the red carpet. Found an interesting verse I want to share with you real quick to kind of kick off everything. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. If you have anything to jot notes down, that's great. We're going to be giving you a lot of verses and things like that. But if not, just enjoy it, all right? Just let the word speak to you. But the Bible says this about marriage. Marriage should be honored by all. Boy, isn't that a powerful sentence? It's so short, but it's so true. Marriage should be honored. In our culture, in our society, it seems like marriage isn't honored. It's given the least amount of time. It's given the least amount of effort. And then when you go to things like Hollywood, you know, grand openings of films, you know, it's like the people that are on that red carpet that everyone wants to take pictures of, they've had like 50 marriages, you know? Or they've just got such a messed up way of looking at relationships when really the people we should be putting on television are people like yourselves who've walked this thing and loved each other through the good times, through the bad times, and you know what it's like to come together when things are difficult. And, you know, the idea of marriage is an honorable idea. Marriage is an honorable creation of God. And let's not forget that God was the creator of marriage. Just because some of us grew up with bad models and things of marriage, it's not marriage that's messed up. God made this. God knew this was the place. This was how he was going to create the family and how he wanted to build his kingdom. And you have done an honorable thing. Marriage is to be honored and revered and prized and cherished and celebrated. You know, it's interesting when you bring up marriage sometimes, even when we were making announcements for the marriage conference, you know, I'd be like, we love marriage. And there would be like this, like, we think it's okay to cheer. And then there's this other part where we don't know if it's okay to cheer. And it's like this awkward, like, are we supposed to cheer at that? You know, may we always be a culture, even though, yes, there's been marriages that haven't worked out and there's been examples and role models that haven't worked out. Let's always have a culture of having a celebration attitude towards something that God has called holy and honorable and worthy to be celebrated. Amen. So let's say we're excited. Let's celebrate marriage. Can we do that and not feel awkward or weird about it? You know, sometimes I think we feel awkward talking about marriage or awkward coming to moments like this because so many times we feel like we're not doing a great job in our marriage. We're not measuring up and we get nervous about going to a marriage conference because they're going to point out all the places we're not measuring up. And what we're really trying to do is just help us be re-inspired this weekend. Hear the word of God. Let the word of God put faith in our heart, and God can give us an insight, a thought, a clue to something that just sets our marriage on fire and just sets it free. It has nothing to do with pointing fingers, because every single one of us need more of God in our marriage. It's organic. It changes. We're real human beings. We make mistakes. There's no perfect marriage. There's no such thing as perfect when it comes to marriage. Just real and just committed. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, sometimes the image that we hear of marriage, like those guys on the red carpet, which is so disappointing, it's like Hollywood is just so twisted, the idea of marriage, where it's like the married couple in every show seems to be like the guy is aloof, he's kind of an idiot or moron. And the woman's like rejected and lonely and, you know, she's not loved and all this stuff. And then it looks like the people in the world that are having the best time are the godless singles out there that are doing whatever they want, whenever they want to. And so you see how I'm saying that this is why we need to come together and get our minds sorted out. You know, in God's mind, the people that should be the most excited, passionate, filled with life, filled with hope, filled with security, are those that he's put in this wonderful, beautiful thing called marriage. Amen. Amen. I mean, we're supposed to be the ones that are showing the world about love. I mean, they have nothing to tell us. They can't even keep a relationship. Amen. Are you understanding? They haven't walked through what you've walked through, and you're still standing. Yeah. Amen. That's what I'm saying. Marriage should be honored. But Hollywood wants to twist this whole thing around and make it look like marriage is the dried up side of life and singleness is where it's at. No, I'm here to tell you marriage is where it's at. Amen. Marriage is where there's so much to feel and to be a part of and to experience. And so I want to build your faith. We want to build your faith this weekend in this wonderful idea of marriage and to bring honor back to what this is in marriage. All right. Well, we are going to do something together to help you kind of see this maybe in a fun way, kind of a fun-loving way. The Lord's given us a few thoughts about some ingredients in marriage. Ingredients in marriage, all right? Now, I look at this, super dad, huh? Thank you. Thank you very much. This is the whole idea of ingredients of marriage. Now, none of what we're going to say tonight is you need to do this and you need to do this. We're here to give you ingredients. What?
It's not going to go over the mic if I
Oh.
Sorry.
Do you need help?
Nope, I'm good. Go ahead. I wasn't going to wear that one. I made him do it.
I'm not embarrassed. You got to take me seriously, though. Because all this right here is about to change your life. All right. You're not going to listen to me. I'm going to take it off. I don't believe you. I don't trust you. They're going to listen to me. Recipe, ingredients. Let me get to this. It's not a formula. That's what I want to help you see. There's not a formula to a great marriage. I think sometimes people look for A plus B equals C. And that's not what the Lord told us to tell you tonight. It's not a perfect thing. It's always changing. And just like recipes, you know, my mom, she used to always create beautiful meals, but the recipe was always changing. And you add the right ingredients, right? And you just season to taste. And that's kind of what we're going to help you with tonight. There's ingredients that we want you to see. And what the Lord has told us, I believe each one of these ingredients is for a different person, or maybe a few of them are for different people in the room tonight. So even though we want to have some fun with it, we hope you see that these are really God things. These are things that God is bringing to your attention as possible ingredients that you need to throw back in and kind of mix it up a little bit. And like I said, it's not a formula. That's what I love about the idea of seasonings and recipes. It's you put all the right pieces in the pot, and then if you need a little bit more of this, you just add a little more, and you keep tasting it till you get it right. That's what makes a successful marriage. Do you understand that illustration? It's like if you need a little more of this, and you put a little more in, that's fine. But you just keep adding and doing things and mixing it up, and you will find that right balance. And so we're going to give you some ingredients to a happy and successful marriage.
That's right. So our first ingredient, how do you want to do this?
This one.
That, yeah, I know it's that one.
You mean to hold it?
Well, okay. So here, I'll let you, because I'm going to, okay. Water. Water's pretty much an ingredient that you use in most of your recipes. So we're just going to add that into whatever it is that we're making here, because I don't know what it's going to be like when it all comes out. Probably nothing that any of us want to get close to. But...
Yeah, don't write the recipe down because you're not going to want to eat.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yeah, it's not the recipe that you're looking at. Go ahead.
But the very first ingredient that we wanted to talk about is having, and when we say this, it may seem very obvious when you talk about it in general, but it's very, very key for marriages in general. But the very first ingredient is just having God-centered lives, but real God-centered lives, not kind of fake ones. The problem happens is that when one individual in marriage, either the wife or the husband, one of the two of them, you get this frustration of one of them are really having this amazing relationship with the Lord and the other one's not, or vice versa. Or there's often relationships too where couples are so focused on trying to have a God-centered marriage, but they're not focusing on their own individual relationships and walk with the Lord. The very first thing in your marriage, for your marriage to succeed, for any relationship to be successful, is that you have got to be pursuing your own personal relationship with the Lord, your own living and vibrant relationship with the Lord. God created marriage. It was very first thing he created, even before he created the church. There was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they had a marriage. They had purpose. God put it together. Our job, even then, was they were walking with God. They had a relationship with God. And it just happens that as you as an individual have a powerful and a dynamic walk and personal relationship with God, that you know what? Then your marriage becomes Christ-centered. It's just a natural result of two people who just love the Lord wholeheartedly. And so our very first ingredient, and I'll let you talk about that, but I'll write it up here.
Is a God-centered life. Now again, yes, it sounds so simplistic, but think about this, everyone. Marriage wasn't designed to live outside the presence of God. Marriage was created within the Garden of Eden, and God was walking with them every single day, which means all these marriages out there that get together and they don't have God in it isn't working the way it's supposed to be working. It's missing the key ingredient. I want you to get that in your head real quick, because I know that I'm very aware that not everyone in this room has a personal relationship with the Lord. And I want to help you see something. The marriage that you're hoping for, the marriage that you have a desire in your heart, marriage will never achieve. Even if you're a great marriage and you think everything's great, marriage will never become its full potential outside of the presence of God. Marriage was never designed to be outside the presence of God. Every marriage outside the presence of God is because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Marriage was made to be with God. I want to give you a passage of scripture. It's the longest scripture I'm going to use throughout the night. Mostly we're going to move pretty quickly, but this one's so significant because some of you, I know you love your spouse, I know you want to do good, but I'm here, I'm trying to encourage you, you need the Lord. You need Jesus. For marriage to be successful, you need Jesus. And I don't want to go any further on ingredients or any further on all these other wonderful things without giving you the main ingredient. You need Jesus. Now let me explain why. Book of Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 19. It's a lengthy passage of scripture. I'm going to ask you to follow with me. But I'm going to start at the bottom and then give you its context, verse 18 and 19. Here, let's start at the bottom, 18 and 19. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. And so many people have quoted that. Wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. But they don't realize the context. You see, the whole context before that starts with life change in meeting Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, you don't just look at wives and say, wives, love your husbands, or wives, submit to your husbands, husbands, love your wives. He's talking to two people that have given their hearts to Jesus, therefore they're treating each other unselfishly. And they're treating each other with humility and compassion, and they've died to self and selfishness and selfish ambition. See, in context, the verse starts verse 1 like this. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. See, you understand where this is going to help a marriage, everybody? Because when you come and give in your life to Christ, you become dead to immorality, impurity, the passions that are unrighteous passions, evil desires, greeds, which amount to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them, you also used to walk. But see, you're not that person anymore. When you were living in them, but now also put them all aside, and put also aside these: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech of your mouth. You know what's cool? Is you have the ability to put those things aside because you're now in Christ. You see, it's not meant for you to be perfect on your own. It wasn't meant for you to change and be all the perfect father, husband, wife, mother on your own. Especially when you're battling that old sinful nature inside of marriage. But Christ has the ability to free you of that self, that old self. so that you can be the loving person that you want to be. And you don't have this sin nature pulling you back and pulling your whole marriage back into the depths of despair. But now also put aside that stuff. Do not lie to one another. You see, and you can control this because you have Jesus on the inside. You do not lie to one another. Since you laid aside that old self with its evil practice, and you've put on a new self being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction, Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, and the list goes on. But Christ is all in all. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on now. See, now you have the ability to have this new nature, which is where I'm saying, we're saying key ingredient is relationship with the Lord, personal relationship. Not just couple relationship with the Lord, personal. Yeah. Because a lot of people focus on having a Christian couple, like Maria was saying, a Christian relationship. But the best way to have a Christian relationship is to have two really good Christians. And then you have a good Christian relationship. So as those who've been chosen by God, holy beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. All these things are really good in marriage. I don't know if you knew that. Okay? Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you now. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Now we can begin to talk about submitting to each other. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Well, you're talking about two people that have put selfishness aside, have put greed aside, anger aside, malice aside, immorality aside, evil passions aside, and they've given their hearts to Christ, and now they can serve and love each other with the help of Jesus on the inside. Number one ingredient. All right. Can we get an amen out of that?
Amen.
All right. Number two. I'm going to use the flower. Use a cup. Flower. Bam! Number two ingredient, covenant mindset. Too many times we think we just got married, and especially in a culture where the idea of marriage is just we said some things to each other in front of some people. What are you doing?
Just looks scary.
You're scaring me. All right, she's got a spoon and wet, sloppy stuff, so behind my back. I trust you. That old nature has died in Christ. I believe in you. All right. Covenant mindset. Covenant mindset. Number one ingredient. We want you tonight, and we believe the Lord in preparing for this, wanted to help shift. Like I said, one idea can change everything. You didn't just go through a wedding ceremony. That's what I'm trying to help you see. You didn't get up here and have a fancy little service and have a fancy dress, fancy, you know, tuxedo. Or many of us before Christ, you never even want to get married in a church. You just went down to the courthouse and you just got it done, signed some papers and all this. And we don't realize that this isn't about the idea that we see in America. It's a covenant. This is a covenant, which covenant is something that's throughout history has been the strongest commitment that people can make on the planet. Tribes have made covenants that have lasted thousands of years. People have given their life because of a covenant that their grandfather made to another tribal member. I understand covenant means till death do us part. That's covenant. You didn't just make a promise. You didn't just, you know, stand up in front of some people and have a big show. You made a covenant. And God took that covenant seriously. Seriously. Which is why I think the devil uses our culture so much to tell you that marriage isn't serious business. It's very serious. And it's something to be honored above all. The idea of covenant is found in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says this. The Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth. You know, God was a witness when you took one another as husband and wife. He was a witness of it. He was there. He heard the vows that you spoke. I love it when people write their own wedding vows. I've done a lot of weddings. I've done like 75 weddings or something like that. And I have people repeat vows after me, and that's fine. But I love it when people stand in front of other people, and they profess their love to each other. They make covenant with each other. They make a commitment to each other. And the Bible says the Lord was the witness there. The Lord was listening between you and your wife, against whom you've now dealt treacherously. See, God was dealing with the nation, and the nation was like, God, why aren't you listening to us? God, why aren't you blessing us? And it's because you're not taking serious the covenant of marriage as a nation. And I'm not saying this is all of us here in the room. I'm just trying to remind us that you made more than a promise. You said more than words. According to God, you made a covenant, and he was a witness of it. And God takes it serious. It's not something to be played with, messed with. This is real. Amen? Because this is where the world was to be carried in the hearts of married families. Do you understand why covenant and marriage was so important? It's not just living together and just, you know, finding someone so you're not lonely. This was what was going to carry on and perpetuate the culture of the world, housed in the peace and in the security of marriage. Against whom you've dealt trustlessly, though she is your companion and the wife, your wife by covenant. And so we just wanted to remind everyone tonight, you know, the reason the devil's fighting this thing is because it's a covenant, and it scares the devil. And you know what? It's hard sometimes, but man, you made a commitment. You made covenant. So when your mind is trying to tempt you or tease you or to make you double-minded, which is making you unstable on your ways, you didn't just make a promise. You didn't just stand up in front of people. You have a covenant. I want you to see it's powerful. It's all-consuming. It's God was there. And God is saying, I bless that covenant. And God's also there to help you keep that covenant. Yeah. Amen. All right. Amen. Next ingredient.
Amen. Next ingredient. Well, while I'm pulling it out, it's interesting with covenant. You know, you did make a covenant, but you know what? God, there are lots of things that we can do to keep... you know, our culture today, obviously, it talks about marriage, and marriage isn't very something that's... It's kind of like optional whether or not you're going to stay in it or not. But if you go into it giving yourself the option that you can get out of it, that's where you start to go wrong, because now you're thinking about it like you've got this option, this backdoor option. But if you go in committed that this, it's never an option. The word divorce in your household, the word divorce amongst the two of you is never thrown around. It never comes out of your mouth. It's not something that you're going to say or just throw down like a trump card in the middle of a fight. It's not something that you just throw out there just because you're upset or something. You don't ever bring it up. It's just never, you made a pre-choice choice that it will just never, it's never an option. It just doesn't come out of your mouth. Then covenant, like that's one way to just really... make sure that you don't go from understanding the fact that you made that covenant to now it's just a marriage, it's a document that I could go down to the courthouse and we can reverse this thing. You can't reverse this thing. You don't start a marriage with a back door open. You start a marriage with the back door completely sealed, completely closed, signed off. There's no way out of this thing. I'm not going to come up here and marry you with the option in the back of my brain that I can just walk out. And then there's a whole lot of trust factors that even solves if you head into your marriage with the idea that there's not a back door, that this is covenant. I'm not going to ever even entertain those thoughts or use that word divorce. It makes it a lot easier.
Hey, while you're getting ready to do that, I just thought of this, and it just blessed me, just whatever the Lord's saying in this. You know, sometimes we're here to help make you see this is a strong deal, right? And we're like, eesh, wow, no back door, whoa, you know, covenant. How many of you know God has your best intention in heart? Anybody? Can you trust God? Let me just ask you, can you trust God?
Yes.
Do you think God wants you to live the best life you can possibly live? Do you think it's God's will to help you enjoy yourself the most you can possibly enjoy yourself?
Yes.
Absolutely. And so God isn't trying to like strap you into this horrible thing and say, you made a covenant. You made a covenant. You can't get out. No, the whole reason that marriage was supposed to be covenant was God wanted to lock you into the most beautiful, precious thing to protect the love and the future and the family. God was trying to link you and lock you into something that you want. Not something you don't want. And yeah. You just need to make sure you see that. Marriage, that's why we're saying marriage is something to be celebrated. Something good. It's like, I'm so glad I can't get out. You know what I'm saying? Love it. Go ahead.
All right. These first three ingredients are really kind of are very foundational. But if you don't have these three ingredients, then it doesn't matter what else you add. It's probably not going to come out very well. So I'm about to crack an egg up here and make a mess. Ready? Oh, gosh.
There's shells in there.
Yes, there are. And you're about to put your hands in there and pull them out, baby.
We're not really going to eat it. Why do I have to pull the shells out?
I don't know. Okay, hold on.
Here,
we were smart. No, I want the wipe. Can I have a wipe? Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so now the next wrong end. It's baby wipes. You should know how to use those. We've got four of those. Okay, so the next ingredient is love. Unconditional love, the next ingredient in marriage. And obviously, you know, that's just, it's kind of like a one that everybody knows about. Unfortunately, in our culture today, people, when they talk about love, when they talk about love, it's more to do with like a feeling, this emotional feeling. And all of us who've been married for any length of time know that love is a choice. Yep. It's not just a feeling or an emotion. And if it was, then a lot of us would probably realize that those emotions die often, and then you kind of feel like you're a pinball machine, maybe like in and out of love all the time, if that's what love was. But we understand that love is a choice, and feelings come, and making right choices help. I had a mentor one time growing up saying that you make right choices bring right emotions and all that stuff, which you step in and make the right decisions, and then a lot of times the right emotions will follow. But unconditional love, there's a scripture that I want you to put on the screen. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And it says this: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres, and you know what? Love never fails. Amen? Yes. And so I love that. I love bringing myself, because in culture, you know what? We have to battle so much of what culture is trying to preach at us on a daily basis about marriage, about relationship, about what you see on TV. You see these movies, you see these soap operas, especially women. A lot of times you see on TV and you see this, you start to be fed that that's what love really is. When in reality, this is what love is. Right. This is the truth. It's not what you're seeing in the movies or what you're being fed. And a lot of times when you begin to watch those things, that's where dissatisfaction with your current marriage begins and is bred, when you begin to feed yourself on a lot of romantic movies that aren't even real. It's not the true realization of what love is. And so it's important to remind ourselves that it is a beautiful thing, but it is also a choice. It's making choices on a daily basis. One of my favorite lines in this scripture is that it keeps no record of wrongs. And one of my favorite statements is it's got a short memory. Love has a short memory. And it reminds me of Dory in Finding Nemo. Because she's like, what? You know, she can't, you know the whole thing. She's swimming around and she can't even remember.
Just keep swimming,
right? She can't remember who they're looking for. She can't remember anything. But in reality, that's true. You have to keep no record of wrongs, and you have to become a little bit like Dory, right? Because there's things that happen all the time, but it forgives. And forgiveness is a huge choice, whether they're small things or whether they're the really big things. And it is a powerful, powerful ingredient in marriage, love and using forgiveness. And so it's just a great reminder.
Under this point, I wrote down two thoughts. One, choose to be a loving and lovable person, and also be someone that you would want to marry when it comes to, isn't that a great point? Like, we want to be the person that we should be. Like, we always look at changing the other person, but let's look at ourselves and say, am I acting loving? You know, our relationship, we want to see love. Love is forgiving. Love is patient. How patient? Where's my patience going right now? And is it keeping record of wrong? And am I dealing with the issue when it happens? That's such a huge deal. Marriage, we hurt each other all the time. People hurt each other. Married people hurt each other. It's two people who think differently. And they have different mindsets and different opinions. We're not the same. We're taking two distinct individuals and we're bringing them together. And there's going to be times where we disagree or we don't see it the same way. And forgiveness, quick forgiveness. Don't harbor it. Don't say, well, I'll just talk to him about it someday. May you be quick to forgive. Deal with it that day. That's why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger, because every time you let a day go by, a piece of this thing gets hardened. Does that make sense? And so it's like we deal with whatever happened that day. Think about how simple that is. If we would just have dealt with today's issues today, and not saved it for 6 years so we end up in therapy over the thing. Does that make sense? If we just would have dealt with today's issues today, just did what the Bible said, that I love you and I don't want this to last till tomorrow. Does that make sense? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So the key is, if you want to be angry for a long period of time, get angry first thing in the morning. Because then you get all day, all right? But just make sure that before the day's over, it's done.
Or you can just get angry after it's gone down.
Or yeah, you can get angry after it's gone down. Then you get a whole night and a whole day.
Hours. That works.
All right, way to manipulate the Bible. Here we go. Simple ingredients, love. I know it sounds silly, but so many people, and again, our church is filled with people. You're just starting your journey with God. I don't want to take for granted that you know what love means. You know, Hollywood's told you love's a feeling. Hollywood's told you love's lust. Hollywood's told you love's this and love's that. And the Bible just defined love is this. Love acts, you know you're acting in love when you're patient with your partner. You know you're acting in love when you forgive them and you don't feel like forgiving them. You know you're acting in love when you're being kind and you don't want to be kind. You know, this is love. This is love. So if you've never learned love, your parents didn't show you, the culture didn't show you, let your Creator talk to you about what it means to have love in your life. That's real love, okay?
And it's safe.
And it's safe love. All right, next one. We have 10 ingredients, I believe, so we're on number 4. Olive oil. I'm going to put olive oil in because every good Italian has to use olive
your
oil.
Favorite.
Absolutely. And every good Italian is kind of nuts. And so we put some nuts in there. And my point right now, ingredient, is you have to have fun. You have to have a sense of humor in marriage. You know, there are times where things don't go the way you planned. There are times where you're preparing this thing, you're trying to make it all nice for your spouse, and it doesn't go prepared to plan. Or there's times where you come into the room and you think you're going to be all, like, you know, charming and everything, and, you know, you just... you smell all of a sudden. You know, something just happens. It just didn't come out the way you're supposed to. And there's just times you have to have a sense of humor. You have to know how to have a good time. And I'm not just talking about a sense of humor like that, but also may we keep the sense of fun and playfulness in our marriage. There's no rule in the Bible that says after you've been married for more than a year, you have to be a grumpy. There's no rule. There's no thou shalt be dried up and boring and grumpy. You know, I remember my parents, one of the things I loved about my parents growing up is they had a good time. They had friends over all the time. My mom and dad would play pranks on their friends, and I'd watch my dad, my mom would go around behind people and put like gas, like it smelled like someone gassing. And she would, it was like a liquid that she would like dump on the friends like that were there. And they would like look at each other like, who's doing this? You know, is that you? You smell, you know? And she would just walk around and just occasionally just drop another drop on somebody. And I mean, they just had fun. They laughed a lot. They still laugh a lot. We laugh a lot when we're at their house. I love that about my parents, that they still laugh. I love watching my dad as a grandfather, you know, just be crazy with the grandkids. You know, we have to still laugh and play. Play. When's the last time you played? When's the last time, you know, Marie and I many times will play a card game or something. We're on vacation. We'll do something. We'll just have fun together because life is so serious. You know, sometimes you just got to ask yourself the question, when's the last time we just had fun? You know, sometimes when we counsel couples, one of the things when they're fighting and all this stuff going on, I stop them and I'm like, when's the last time you guys just had fun together? And you know, and it's amazing how long it's been. So important to do something playful, something fun, to figure out what makes you laugh, and to do that. You had a story about Kylie.
Yeah, it was interesting because this laughter, it doesn't just affect your marriage, but it affects obviously every other relationship as well. And you don't realize that it's happening, that you haven't smiled in a long time. One night I was tucking in our daughter, putting her to bed, and we had just not too much earlier than that had taken some family photos, and so I had just gotten them developed and got, you know, them all up on the wall, you know, how you like to have them all decorated up there. And I was putting her to bed, and she looks at me, she's like, Mom, she's like, how come you don't smile like you did in those pictures anymore? Like, how come you're not? And I just looked at her and I was like, I totally smile all the time. What are you talking about? But I kind of just got quiet, and I was like, well, That's a really good question. I guess I've just in home and just life, and you just keep going and you don't think about it. You don't stop. Responsibility comes and you just keep trudging along and you're trying to get everything done, especially with the kids and homework that I thought that I graduated from, and lunches and just all the different schedules and things that come along. And then, or you're dealing with other issues or whatever it might be, finances, whatever it may be. And you forget that you haven't stopped and smiled. And the Bible talks about joy being powerful and laughter being so good. Yeah, and it does good like a medicine. And it just brings, man, if there's tension, if there's stress, you just begin to laugh and do things. And that stuff just begins to lift out of the atmosphere. But you have to, and it doesn't just happen. You it's interesting to note that the longer you've been married, like spontaneous laughter doesn't just happen all the time. You have to be intentional about having times where you just relax and you play. He mentioned card games. That's not always the best way for us to laugh because I'm too competitive, and every time he beats me and we lose, and then the night is just done. It's over with, and I can't handle it anymore. So we may have to, that might not have been the best example for us, but it might work for you. I don't know. So, but you just do some stuff. We laugh at like music. We'll be driving on the road and we'll just be singing and just be silly or things like that. Just what is it that you can just relax, enjoy each other, and think back to when you were dating? You sit there and think, well, I don't know what to do, but what did you do that made you laugh so much when you were dating? You enjoyed one another's company. You just had so much fun. Go back and even redo some of those things, and it'll bring some fun and laughter back into your home. So I think that's fabulous. I think we're going on to number five, which kind of goes with number five, and that is, salt. Yeah. Somebody likes salt. Look at that. Just a little bit of salt. Maybe a lot of salt.
Oh, that's my fine. Someone's getting a little salty.
Salty. Okay, so the next one is quality time. Now, this was interesting because you talk about, obviously you have to put time in your marriage, but I felt like the Lord just kind of gave me kind of a picture on this to hopefully help us a little bit here, because in anything that you prioritize, you're going to put some time towards. And so the image that I really kind of got when we were praying about this, talking about this, was that of an investment. And we kind of understand investing for a future. Most couples, a lot of us will prepare for the future, having like 401ks and all this kind of fun stuff, getting ready for retirement. But what's interesting about that is that you invest so much now, and hopefully you're not touching it until retirement. But a lot of times we forget that there's not going to be anybody to enjoy that retirement with unless you're investing in the person. We have an illustration that a lot of times we use up here, and two rocking chairs. Unless you're investing in the person who's going to be sitting next to you in that rocking chair. And what's interesting about quality time is not only do you invest it, you reap dividends on it in the future, but you also reap dividends on it now, every day. Life. Amen. It's something that you don't just put it away in the bank and reap it at one time. It's something that you get a payout on consistently. And so when you look at it like an investment, and who is that person that you want to be sitting in that rocking chair with in that time in your life when the kids are gone, when they're grown up, when they're out of the house, and it is the two of you, and this is a beautiful time in your life to enjoy one another. Who is it that you're sitting next to? What investments have you made into your marriage? And you're doing an amazing job. You're here this weekend. Amen. You're at a marriage conference. You are doing these things, but it's just important to realize that quality time is not just sitting in front of the TV or just, you have to be intentional.
Looking at Facebook, playing on your phone.
On the computer. Mindlessly flipping through
the
channels.
But you're in the same room together, but that doesn't mean quality time.
Well, that's time, but the key word is quality time. Time that actually is part of the investment. Because you sat next to each other, but what makes it an investment? What about this time together is making it an investment into my future?
We were at a friend's house, and they're not watching on the internet because this isn't live right now. And I'll make sure I edit this later. But we were at a friend's house once, and remember, they were both on their computers.
That we were sitting there.
We were guests in their house. And this is another, we flew to their state that they live in.
Yeah.
Guests in their house.
Yeah.
And they were Facebooking each other and other people, and we're sitting there for like a half hour, and they're not even talking to us. I'm like,
oh, we're talking to each other.
And they're not even talking to each other. They're like Facebooking each other. Across from each other. Okay? And then they're not talking to us. I'm like, hello? Like, we're in the room. Enjoy our faces. Like, we're here. We flew here. Enjoy us. Be with us. We're amazing. Enjoy us. It was just one of those things that people just don't realize. It's just so part of, like, so key question, because everybody's different. Remember, and every relationship needs a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Maybe yours right now needs a little bit of quality time. So you throw some quality time in. Maybe that's what God's saying. Maybe you need a reminder on being patient and kind and using real love. Throw that in there. Maybe you need to get a relationship with God fixed up. Throw that in there. But the question for quality time is, what makes you feel, now really think about this, okay? You can write it on your phone or whatever, not Facebook, write it on your phone if you need to. What makes you feel like you've had quality time with the other person? That's a good question. I'm not here to answer it for you. I'm not you. But what makes you feel that way? For some of you, it's holding hands and walking down the sidewalk. For some of you, it's cooking together. For some of you, it's doing a game. For some of you, it's going to a movie or doing something. But what makes you, ask that question and answer it for yourself. And then do it. What makes you feel like you've had quality time? All right, next one. Oh, the next one. We need a little bit of sugar in our lives. Need a little bit of hugging. Need a little bit of holding hands. Need a little bit of kissing. And we need a whole lot of... Can I get a witness? All right. Service is over. Get home, quick!
Wow.
Need a whole lot of sugar. Amen. Sugar represents intimacy of all kinds. Intimacy. Now, every relationship, this is just huge. All this is huge. And really, I wasn't joking when I was saying you do need the holding of the hands. That's huge. You don't just need the big dump of sugar. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes some of those little scoops gets the big dump of sugar. Okay? But you need. We all need it, everyone. We need to be. This is our relationship. This is our marriage. And God, you know, it's different than any other relationship you have. You know, you're not cuddling with your buddies from college, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get to, there are things that you get to do, and God put them there. Like the holding of the hands. I'm not walking around holding hands with guys on my old football team or something. I'm not walking around, you know, putting my arm around all these different people in weird ways and stuff, sitting in a movie with my buddy, you know, putting my arm around him or something. But yet, we need touch. Touch is a part of who we are. And it's something that we get permission to do. And we need to do it more. We need to do the touch. The touch. Bring it in. I have to do this point. She's like, you're doing that point. Wait. Listen to him. Listen to me.
You did preach a message a few years back at a marriage conference that we did, and you did. The whole message was that the church needed more of this.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So you actually gave them a homework assignment at that marriage conference.
Absolutely, be doers of the word, everybody.
So.
All right, let me finish. Okay. All right. Think about this, though. You know, holding hands. We need to bring it back into our marriage again. Sometimes we let those little things slip. Do you understand? The holding hands. I'm talking the simple things, too. Holding hands, putting your arm around each other. Remember back in the day when you were dating and you did the whole, like, yawn thing? Now you can walk right up and be like, what's up? We're married. I can put my arm around you. I can pat your bottom. I can do all kinds of things. Let's do this. Like, touch. Embrace. Like, God made us this way, and He wants us to be close, and He wants us to have that ingredient in our marriage. And maybe sometimes we don't even realize it. It's been so long. We're just so used to going to bed and turning our backs to each other and falling asleep, or we sit and watch the news. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Watching CNN, Fox News doesn't make me want to just like, hey, what's up, baby? You know? So maybe change the channel. Do something else. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 3 through 5, it's one of those awkward scriptures that I have to read to you. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations. Some of you are like, the Bible says this. This is like, where was this? You know? The Bible's awesome. Okay? Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves completely to prayer. That's your excuse. That's the only excuse.
All the men are happy right now.
Hey, it also says the ladies that we should be not denying our wives, right?
There you go.
Afterward, you should, and listen to this. After the season of prayer that you've been on, afterward you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You have to understand, the Bible knows, God knows who he made. Does that make sense? God knows who he made, and he knows what you're capable of, and he knows what you need, and he's saying, you all need to be close a lot, not just sexually close, but you need to be, yes, sexually close, but you need to be touching a lot, and you need to be holding each other a lot, and cuddling a lot, and doing what you can't do with anybody else in this world, people. But you can do that with your spouse. There's a security that comes in. There's an identity that comes in. There's a trust that's there. There's a fulfillment that's there that's not then going to be looking around to be fulfilled somewhere else. And, you know, the devil attacks that intimacy. And a lot of times, you know, it starts way before it gets lost out of the bedroom. It gets lost out of those simple things I was just saying, where it's just awkward to touch each other anymore. And that's what I'm trying to break through tonight. If that's been you, let's let God do a mindset shift in your head. Say, when's the last time it was comfortable for me just to hold hands with my wife and walk around? When's the last time it was comfortable for me just to put my arm around her and walk around? Maybe we'll get to the bedroom later, but let's just start getting comfortable touching again. Does that make sense? And maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's been some hurt and there's been some things that have gone on that God's going to heal, and he can heal and he can do all that. But the point is, touch is huge, and it's part of an ingredient of our marriage, and it's something that God is saying, don't go light on the touch. You know what I mean? That's why I poured all that bag of sugar in there. It's like, what are you saving it for? You know what I mean? Sometimes we save kissing and even having sex and stuff like it's like we're running out. You know, it's like you bring out the china once a year, you know, kind of thing. You know, it's like, what are you saving it for? You can have as much as you want. You know what I'm saying? This is really awkward. We're moving on. I'm just saying, what are we waiting? What are you saving it for? All right.
Next one.
Woo!
Yes. Okay. All right. But I just want to say that the last one, intimacy, there are a lot of people in a lot of different marriages, and we talk to a lot of different individuals who have had just lots of different pasts and different things like that. But I just want to reemphasize the point that, you know what, God does restore and he does heal and he does walk you through wherever you are. But maybe Absolutely. The first mindset is that if God said, and even in the Bible talked to us about it and told us it was a really good thing, maybe the first thing that we need to do is just have a mindset change that's even how God designed it. And so if you can't even get to the place where you're excited about that part, you know, whether female or male, maybe you just start with saying, God, help me change my mindset on this. Let's start there and then let God take you on the rest of the journey. But the very first part is just to understand that that's something that he put in there. And we understand that God created marriage. He put it together. He did something. He put it together. He made it so that it would work. He designed it in intimacy. He made us with hormones. He made us with all of, he created us that way. For a reason. Yeah. And so there's a reason that he made us that way. And so it's not something that's a little deal. But if you can't just get really excited about that whole thing at first, just at least start with the mindset shift that God created this. It's a good thing. God, help me on the rest of this journey. But that's maybe the first start. All right. Well, now I've got some hot sauce. Look at that. I don't even like hot sauce. Eesh. It's too... Okay, there we go. That's kind of a lot. That's going to be pretty spicy. Oh, man. Wow. And that's why I don't like it. All right. So we're talking. This is looking beautiful up here, everybody. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So we're talking about hot sauce. Now, this is an interesting point. You know what? God created us human, and he gave us all different personalities and different just uniqueness about us, but he also knew that we were human. And it's interesting because a lot of times with Pinterest and Facebook, all these things, the biggest thing that you see a lot of times are what you think are these perfect marriages, or we aspire to what we believe is going to be a perfect marriage, and that's completely void of conflict or tension of all sorts. But it's interesting because biblically, back in when God began to talk to us and describe women as being a helpmate for their husband, the word helpmate actually means one who opposes. Not like shuts them down, but brings a different point of view to the scene. And so being a helpmate for your... I feel like I hear music or something. Okay. Being a helpmate for your husband is not being a complete doormat or getting rid of your own personality or how God's made you to be, but it's being all that God has created you to be and bringing that to the table. And in bringing that to the table, you now have two unique, strong, God-designed individuals who have callings, they have purpose, God has gifted them, he has talented them, and so sometimes when that comes together, you don't always see things eye to eye. But so sometimes there's a bit of conflict or tension that happens. But remember, in love, you continue to work that conflict and tension out. A perfect marriage is not a marriage completely void of that conflict and tension. It's not conflict and tension that comes out in a sense of fighting where you're accusing one another or you're slandering, you're tearing down. That's not...
That's not God's
design for marriage. But God's design for marriage is not that you get rid of your opinions and thought processes and who you are, but that you bring them to the table. You may not see eye to eye. You talk them out. He knows that he created both of you that way. And there might be a little bit of tugging tension. When there's tension on a rope, it's because two people are pulling this way. But essentially, you've got two different opinions, but then you come together and you begin to agree.
Which is the power of agreement.
It is the power of agreement, and how can two walk together unless they're agreed? So you come to that place. And so it's not that you stay in opposition of one another, but it's also not that you're never void of it. Some people feel as though they fail in their marriages because they have two completely opposing viewpoints. But the breakdown occurs when you have those two viewpoints, and then all of a sudden accusations start flying and there's fighting that happens and you begin to tear down one another, or you begin to call names just because they don't agree with you. And that's
you're not talking about the problem anymore. You're talking about each other.
Yes, you're not talking about the problem anymore. It switches from that and it goes to one another, an attack on one another. But the point is that a perfect marriage isn't one where you have one person who's a complete doormat and never speaks up. A perfect marriage is one that you both are exactly and becoming who God has created you to be, and you bring it to the table, but in love, one of the ingredients that we talked about earlier, that keeps no record of wrongs, that is not selfish, it's not all about themselves, but begins to serve and love and put the other person first.
Yeah. Closing thought on that, and we'll move quickly through the last few. Why do you think the Bible, when it talks about love, says love is patient, love is kind, keeps no record of wrong? It's because God knew you all were going to fight, right? Does that make sense? It's like we think sometimes like we're such a disappointment as a couple because we have to forgive each other and disagree and there's tension. God, he's put all this in there because he knew we were going to need these things, and he was just saying, hey, then just use forgiveness. But you know, it's there. It's going to happen. You're going to disagree, and you're going to have differences of thoughts and opinion. It doesn't make you bad. It doesn't mean you're messing it up. You're doing it right. It's like a teapot, and it lets off steam, a little bit of steam, a little bit of steam, a little bit of steam. It's just going to happen throughout marriage, so you don't have these big explosions, you know? It's like you're going to disagree here. You're going to disagree there. You're going to have a little conflict here, a little conflict there. It's not all the time, and you're not accusing each other, but at the same time, it's part of two different, unique individuals, and you need each other's point of view, which is what Marie was saying. We have to have that point of view. I am better because she's disagreed with me on some things. There are some things that I thought I was going to do, and I was like, this is, I'm doing it, this is what I'm doing. And she's like, why are you doing that? And I'm like, why are you questioning me on it? I'm the man of God. And she's like, in this house right now, I'm the voice of the Lord.
It's like, that is right.
And it's like, I'm so glad that she helped me see what I wasn't seeing. Because we can walk like this with blinders on, and our spouse is there to see what we don't see. And so in kind of the discussion and the hashing of things out, we begin to see the whole picture. And so it's how God helps us figure things out, having someone disagree with you. Hallelujah on that. All right. Next one is a team mentality. I'm going to use baking soda here. Hopefully it doesn't explode. A team mentality. You write that down real quick. A team mentality. You're in this together. You are partners. You know, in a football team, here's what I want you to see in a football team. I'm a guy, so I'm going to use football for the example. Every player has different strengths and different weaknesses. And you need to understand and appreciate each other's strengths and weakness. There are things that you, as the husband, you're really good at. And do not look down on your wife if she's not good at the same things you're good at. Amen? It's like everyone on the team is not supposed to be a quarterback or wide receiver, right? But she's really good at a lot of things that you're not good at. Amen. And don't look down on your husband when he's not good at the things you're not good at. You're a team, which means my strengths help your weakness, and then vice versa. Amen? But it's also, for a team to work, I need to know what she's good at, not just what I'm good at. See, a lot of us are like, I'm so good at this. What's your wife good at? I don't know, haven't thought about it. You might be picking on her all the time, never telling her what she's good at. Maybe it's time to figure out what she's good at, because what she's good at is covering what you're not good at. And maybe you need to admit that you're not good at some things. Thank you very much. But it's so important, because you're not going to be a successful team unless you know your strengths and your weaknesses. There are things I know I'm not good at. Like when the kids, something's going on with the kids and they need like compassion, that's not me. I love my children. I love them. But I'm like, walk it off. And Maria's like, let me hold you, baby. Let me hold you, baby. So glad it's not just me. She's really good at some stuff that I'm not really good at. And then vice versa. But that's a team. And I want you to see this. Like, yes, she has weaknesses. Yes, he has weaknesses. We're human beings. It's awesome. But he has strengths and she has strengths. And I need to start seeing, what is my husband really good at? And I need to be able to honor that and trust that which he's really good at. Amen?
Amen?
And then know what you're really good at. And be comfortable with what you're good at. I'm thankful that a wide receiver doesn't feel insecure that they're not a quarterback. You're comfortable with what you're good at, and you understand your limitations, and you see how you fit together. Amen. The last part about being a team, just real quick, is the idea of, as a team, you can feel like you can take on the opponent together. You can take on the world and its challenges together, no matter what. You know, in life, we all, as couples, get a lot of hard things thrown at us. There's a lot of curveballs, a lot of things you weren't expecting. But I love it, like when you watch a sporting event and there's a difficult time in the game, it's like the team comes together and they're like, we can do this. We can, together, we can overcome anything. And what the devil tries to do is he tries to pull you apart and polarize you in crisis rather than let you be the team, the strong covenant strength coming together to defeat whatever it is that's coming your way. That's why the Bible says that two are better than one, because the two, when they come together, they can put to flight all these other things. Are you understanding this?
Yeah.
Marie and I use an illustration sometimes. We have swords typically. Today we're going to do the Charlie's Angels pose. Back to back. And it's like the team. Like, we were through a curveball, a challenge, and we're not going to let it pull us apart, and we're not going to turn our weapons on ourselves or each other, because you're ticked off that you lost your job, because you're ticked off that you got a bad report from the doctor. And so whatever's happening, you start fighting each other. That's not what the team does, right? What the team does is the team keeps fighting the opposition as a team. And together, we can overcome anything. We can even overcome being out of a job. We can even overcome not knowing how to pay our bills. If we stay together, your strength, my strength. There's times where I'm weak and I'm like, we're going to die. And she's like, no, we're not. And then there's times like she's all like, we're going to die. And I'm like, no, we're not. A bad day is when we're both having a bad day. That's a bad day. And then Jesus is, we're both like, we're going to die. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, you're not. Is that okay? You know, I know we've used this illustration before. And again, for some of you are new to the church, you don't know us. But, you know, when we found out we were going to have a special needs child, that can really polarize a person. It can really polarize a life. You know, but the Lord brought Maria and I closer together in that process. You know, she looked at me and said, we're going to believe the word. And I looked at her and said, I know we are. That's what we're going to do. And so together we walked this thing. You know, we were doing some research about special needs kids. You know, statistically, there's an 80% divorce rate when it comes to having a special needs child. You know, what happens is it's stressful. Things happen. Are you understanding this? Yes. Things happen in life and you have a choice to make. Are you going to let those things that happen drive you apart? Or are you going to let you're going to come together like the team and say, look, as long as we have each other, we can overcome this thing. We're going to walk this thing together. All right,
amen.
Next one.
Amen. All right, the next one, we've got some garlic. Oh, I love garlic. Let's just do a lot of garlic.
This has got to be the most interesting tasting thing we've ever done.
All right. Oh, man.
Just a couple more.
All right. Well, with this one, I don't know. We're on number 9.
I think we're making cement. We figured it out.
All right. Number 9 is having purpose. It's so important in your marriage that you have a purpose together as a married couple. You're not just put together to cohabitate, but God has a purpose for your marriage. You each, as individuals, have a purpose on your life, but your marriage has a purpose. It gives you something. And some people say, well, my goodness, my husband does this, my wife does this. I don't know what my purpose is, but it's important to listen to ask the Lord, because he doesn't do things by accident. He didn't just put the two of you together and your giftings and talents together just to raise kids. It's one amazing part of it, but he has the two of you together because he knows what giftings and callings, anointings and talents are on both of your lives, and he puts you together for a purpose. There's a reason the two of you together are stronger. Just like the illustration, we are stronger together. So what's the purpose? What's the reasoning behind the two of you existing together? And that's you guys finding out what it is that God's called you to do. Some of you are called to run amazing businesses. Some of you have amazing gifts of hospitality, love welcoming people into your home. You're called to reach your neighborhoods, called to open your home to your neighbors, one at a time, groups of them, and you begin to minister to them and they begin to get saved. I mean, whatever it is, to understand that you guys have a purpose together. So many times, in mentality, a lot of moms sometimes, if they're stay-at-home moms, they begin to feel like their husband is the purpose for the job. This is my purpose. They compartmentalize them and it begins to separate. But to understand that you have a purpose that God put on your marriage together, as the two of you, both of you putting both of your strengths together to go and make a difference in the world. And so understand that there is a massive purpose.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, 27 through 28, which is when God made Adam and Eve, he didn't just make them and say, hey, you know, you just hang out together. You know, he said God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God brought this couple together and wanted them to have children, wanted them to be in love, and then said, take dominion. Basically, have a marriage, have a family, but also have purpose. Do something in the planet to help make the planet better. Do something together with the authority that I've given you and your gifts and your talents. And so, yes, like it's so good when you guys have a purpose beyond just cohabitating or having kids, that you are two anointed individuals and you have separate things going on, but together it gives you things to dream about, gives you things to talk about. You know, maybe you're at the dinner table at night, the kids are in bed, and you begin dreaming about the purpose that we're talking about, or the ministry you want to create together, or the volunteering you want to do in the community together, or how you want to, you know, you want to write a book together, you want to do things, what is it? But it gives you something beyond, how was your day? Good. How was your day? Good. And let's go to bed. There's something that you're working on together that gives purpose. All right. Just two more. Lemon. I want to use lemon because we need a little bit of zest or freshness. Mix in some things. Mixing some things up. Just simple, quick. If you're in a routine right now, do something different. That's that simple. You know, it's so easy. Go to work. You drive the same thing. You drink the same cup of coffee. You get the same donut at the donut shop. You go sit in the same cubicle. You do the same thing every day. You come home. You eat dinner. You watch the same stupid show on TV every day. And then you go to bed at the same time. And it's just in and out and in and out. It's routine. And it'll kill you. It'll kill a marriage, too. Change things up.
Yeah.
Go to a restaurant you've never been to. Take your wife somewhere you've never been. Go, you know, even as a family, when you're going on vacation, drive a different way. If you go to Florida every year, drive a different road. Look at some different scenery. Do something different. Let God give you some creativity. Change, you know what? This is good. This might seem so simple. Move the furniture around in your house. You'll act like you had a whole new house. You know, I've had so many people tell me that before. You know, it's like, I changed the furniture around. They were thinking, oh, we should move. We should sell the house. And they just rearranged the furniture. And they're like, I love my house. This is awesome. It's brand new. It's like a brand new house. You didn't even have to do anything. Change something. Does that make sense? Don't do the same thing. Now, I'm not saying you got to be all creative every night and change it every night, but do something. You know, we were on vacation a few years ago. Marie and I were blessed. Someone gave us a condo that they had in Hawaii. That's the kind of friend I have, by the way. And so we went to Hawaii, and, you know, normally we would just go lay on the beach, you know. And all of a sudden, Maria just turned into this, like jungle woman, you know. And she's like, let's go zip lining, and we're going snorkeling, and we're going to hike a volcano, and we're going to do all this stuff that I didn't want to do. And we did all these adventurous things, and you know what? It ended up being one of the best vacations we ever had. And we felt very rested, and we had so much to talk about, and we had so many memories. We make new memories. Does that make sense? I mean, do something different. I mean, geez. Even with the whole cuddling thing, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to leave it at cuddling, you know? Like, I don't want to have to say what I need to say.
I'm curious now.
No, I'm not going there. I have boundaries. Just saying, do something different. So, that's it. I'm done. Last point.
Okay. We're on to oregano. Oh,
Last one.
That's a lot of, I know. It smells beautiful up here, by the way. Quite interesting. All right.
Can I get the ushers to help me, or the interns, whoever has those cards? We want to pass out those communication cards
now.
All right. Because we're ending with this.
They're on it. Yep. All right. Last one. Age-old one everybody hears about is just communication. Our very last point is just communication. Obviously, you can't know each other. You can't understand each other. You can't dream. You can't figure out what your purpose is. You can't just even build any kind of a relationship unless you communicate. And communicate is not just simple one-word answers. Communication happens when two people can get to know and understand each other. And so sometimes in our culture, it's difficult to understand how to communicate with one another, but we've got something that we're passing out to you this evening that is maybe going to help you with communication, and I'm actually going to just have you kind of explain that.
Yeah, sometimes we need help communicating. You know, it's hard to look at people and say, you all need to communicate. Sometimes we don't know what questions to ask to talk. I mean, when's the last time we ever talked, really talked, besides how are the kids, you know, what are we going to do, how are we going to pay the bills, what's for dinner? You know, and it's so important that you never stop talking. Do you know we have a speaking God?
That's good.
In the beginning was the Word, right? The Word was with God. The Word was God. And we're made in the image of God. Can you get some theology here for a second? You're made in the image of God.
Okay, don't read the cards. Just
listen, listen to me. Look at me. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. All right. Listen, you were made in the image of God. Speaking, talking will always be one of the most powerful things that you do in life. Boom. And so never stop talking. What the devil wants to do, remember what I said before, the devil wants us to stop like touching, holding hands, and those things start to fade. The same thing would be true with talking, because when a couple starts talking, everything begins to decline. But when we're talking, the devil can't kill this thing, because we're communicating. Just like you talking to God. When you stop talking to God, your relationship dies. It happens with anybody. You stop talking to people, relationship dies. You know, talking keeps it alive. Never stop talking. Even if you don't want to, talk. Even if you're hurt, talk. If you're bitter, talk. If you're frustrated, talk. Never stop talking. And so what we did tonight was we want to end a little differently. We want to give you some talking points, some things to help you start a meaningful discussion. And so what we're going to do is I'd like to pray, and then we're going to play some music. And as we do that, before you run out and leave, and you can stay in fellowship and stuff like that in the lobby, and there's going to be a movie playing later on tonight if you want to chill and hang out here and things. That's fine. They're going to open the sanctuary up just for some movie time. But we're not going to rush you out. Don't rush out, and please take this seriously. Now, sometimes, guys, it's really hard for some of us to go through a series of questions or to talk, and we get so nervous. We kind of put a body language like we really don't want to do this, okay? Like Pastor Kevin's making me do this right now, okay? Let your face tell your wife you actually want to communicate and talk. And let the talk be whatever the talk is. Just let it be whatever, and that's fine. But I'm telling you, if you'll take this little exercise tonight and talk, and you just go through each question, and the goal isn't to get through the questions, okay? Some guys are so task-oriented, your wife's starting to share, and you're like, okay, next question. Well, we got 12, we got to get through the questions. You only get to question 5, but you had a meaningful time of conversing together, it was a win. It was a win. So it's not about getting through all the questions. The goal tonight is before you leave, you feel like you've had a meaningful conversation with each other. That's the goal.
You know, you can use the discussion starters, or you can even use some of the ingredients that we've posted up here. You can begin to talk if there's one or two that you just kind of want to start talking about. Maybe it's an ingredient that you need to add to the recipe of your marriage. Yep.
Again, not a formula. Tonight wasn't about formulas. Tonight was just about ingredients. So let's pray. All right? Would you stand up? You've been sitting for a while. Why don't you stand up? And then what we'll do is we'll start playing some music. And please listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I deal with lots of marriages. I don't just off the cuff tell you stuff. If you'll go through this tonight before you go home, you will feel closer than you felt in a long time. Something as simple as just asking a few questions and having some honest discussion. And so if you stick around in the room and do that, if you maybe you say, you know what, we really want to have this conversation in the car. That would be better. That's fine. You can go do that. But just don't leave that piece of paper unused or have some sort of discussion. The hard part is the moment you leave this place and you're like, oh, we'll have that discussion later, there's a 99% chance you'll never have that discussion. Just by faith, would you trust your pastors tonight and have a discussion, communicate? It will be wonderful. You'll enjoy it. It's not bad. It'll bless both of you. Go ahead and grab your spouse by the hand. We want to pray. Remember, tomorrow morning, 8:30, there's a wonderful breakfast. Then Pastors Derek and Georgina are going to minister in the morning.
And then there's the photo.
You have the photo stuff later and stuff as well. We're going to have a great time tomorrow. Pastor Derek and Georgina will start us off in the morning. And then we'll have a husband section and a wives section. And then we'll have another time with Derek and Georgina. So just be a wonderful time tomorrow. Let me bless this time. So grab your spouse by the hand and let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you destined tonight. I believe that you appointed tonight for a reason, and tomorrow, Lord, you set this aside for these couples that have come. That they've come with faith, they've come with expectation, they've come because they love each other and they love you, and they want to thrive. And so, Lord, I pray that you bring them from wherever they are into even a more thriving place. Pray, God, right now, if anyone in the room feels awkward or nervous because they have not talked to their spouse in a long time, God, you'd give them just a wonderful peace right now. and that, God, you'd give them a sense of faith. Like, let's give it a shot. What's there to lose? And, Lord, the enemy wouldn't come in and try to mess it up with a bunch of confusion. Lord, it would be a peaceful thing. It would be an enjoyable that, Lord, they, when they're finished, they would feel refreshed. They would feel like they've done something of value in their marriage tonight. And Lord, I bless, I speak blessing over this time and what's about to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.